You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this lovely show, Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News and the Fieldhouse. And today, finally, after 10 days, we're getting to the weekly show. So that means on the other line with Lee, with me, horrible, my co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, how you been?
Pretty good. How are you doing? It's been about 10 days since we talked, right?
It's been forever. It's been really forever. And I forgot how to say Thursday in an intro. Since we're doing 3 a week, I haven't said Thursday in forever
either. Oh, yeah. Tuesday and Thursday are days that we don't talk about anymore.
I know. We'll have to figure out we're going to 5 a week. It's probably going to be like a month from now.
Yeah, well, when the season starts, right?
Yeah, those training games. Camp maybe because of scrimmages and stuff.
Whenever there's actually action that we can watch and talk about.
Yes. If you heard yesterday, we had some people from Adam's alma mater, Indy Cornrows, on talking about the phase reopening NBA stuff and players committing to play. You should go listen to that if you're interested in that news. Me and Adam will cover that and whatever else comes out between now and the weekend for next weekly show. But today, we actually saved this topic just so we could talk about it together. We're doing free agency and replacement players for the season restart because it's super interesting and it's super relevant for the Pacers because they're probably going to be able to have a replacement player, which is awesome and fun. Not sure if they're going to use it. In fact, that can be something we talk about. But first, Adam, I think we should do the rules, right?
Yeah, I think you should set the rules for everybody.
They're a little complicated. I'll try to keep this to like a 2-paragraph rules. So first up, there will be a 1 week transaction window that will be before July 1st. So I think that will start like the 22nd or 23rd of June. So like a week from now, probably like next Wednesday or Tuesday. And in that period, it's like a normal free agency period for 1 week. Those guys will be eligible for the playoffs, I think. But it's just like if the Pacers cut someone, they could sign a guy. And then once that's over, what'll happen is because there's a super high chance of, you know, injury because guys haven't played for forever, and of course there's a pandemic with a virus, there's going to be something called replacement players actually in Orlando. And those players, so in the regular season or training camp, if a guy gets COVID or is injured for the rest of the season, you can get a replacement player for the rest of the regular season. And then the playoffs, the injury part goes away, but if a player gets COVID, they can be replaced until the other guy's quarantined and back. So that's a lot of words. We're going to start with the transaction window because so you don't have to waive a player for a replacement player, but to sign a guy in the transaction window, you do have to cut a player. So Adam, we'll start there. This is in a week or so. Would you actually cut someone to add a player in this window? Do you think there's anyone out there that can actually help the Pacers enough to be worth it?
Well, that's the question, right? Who is a likely candidate to get cut? TJ Leaf?
Yeah, or probably Alize Johnson, right?
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking, because he's not good. Those guys probably won't be back next year, and they're both.
So the whole crux of this, and this is like a big giant bury the lead in the first 3 minutes of a podcast, but is like, even if they add a guy, free agent, replacement player, whatever, they're not going to play in games anyway, right? So the transaction period is actually after the date that players are supposed to have to announce if they're going to Orlando or not, or like opting out of going. Which means, so if someone good is like, I'm not going, yeah, you use the transaction period to replace that guy. But like, assuming the entire Pacers roster goes, this guy's not going to really play. So,
well, there's a spot in the rotation. I mean, there's the Jeremy Lamb spot in the rotation.
Well, is there a free agent better than Aaron Holiday by a ton? Do you want to bury
Aaron? I guess the question is, I mean, this is probably not going to happen, right? But it's sort of like a buyout window, right? It's like, this is kind of the same concept. I mean, it's different because people aren't getting bought out this year, so there's not going to be as good of talent, right? But it's the same concept, right? It's very similar, it seems like. So I'm assuming players are going to get bought out because most teams are going to lose money. Why lose more money in a way, I guess?
They'd have to just cut the guy and they'd still have to pay him the money. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could see some buyouts, but I don't know if that's allowed into this system.
Yeah, that is a good point. A buyout would change things for
sure. Right, like for example, like the Cavs, right? I mean, this is an example, but like Tristan Thompson, right? He was a buyout candidate, correct?
Could they buy him out in the transaction window?
Well, but do they have to pay him still if they're not playing games anyways?
That's another great point. Well, no, because the buyout would pay his contract and the new team would pay him for the 8 games.
Yeah, but he only had 1 year left. And if he's not, if they don't have to pay him for the last 6 years, last 16, right?
So I doubt it. I think there's no way that that's going to be possible.
Right.
I thought what you were saying is like the Pacers could buy out TJ Leaf and sign somebody.
Oh, I guess. Well, they'd rather just cut him, right? I mean, it's not like.
No, I highly doubt they'd be able to add anyone who's cut from still active teams. But. Like, teams like the Timberwolves probably hope that's the case so they can get under the tax.
Well, right. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess part of we don't know yet is are those guys going to have to – are the team going to have to – like, is the Cavs or the Timberwolves have to pay their players that are here in the deals the rest right, of their salaries or not?
Because that was a thing that Sham said is the players who don't come, they don't get paid in Orlando, and it's one – the fraction is 1/92.6 of your salary gets cuts for every game. So if you miss 8 games, it's 8/8, which – it's like a tenth of your money. It's a pretty sizable amount of your salary. But anyway.
Yeah, so then that limits all the buyout candidates. Unless so
but, well, yeah, but what you're saying there is like, so did the players on the Delete 8 not get that money because they just can't play? Like, that seems wrong too. So I don't know how that's all going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, yeah.
A buyout would change things though because then there's actually guys good enough to get any rotation in theory. Because...
Yeah, like, if not, like, there's not.
The best guy not on the roster is like J.R. Smith, right? And you'd rather play Aaron than him, I feel like.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can't sign guys from other leagues or anything like that. That eliminates like Lance or eliminates
right.
Stuff like
– well, that – yeah, because I talked about him on Monday. Like, I did a whole segment on it because, I mean, the rules fluctuated so much where it was like they had to be in the league this year and then they had to be in the league last year. But then ESPN said the agreement with the Players Association – or at least tentative agreement. I don't think anything is official until it's official, but is that guys who played overseas are ineligible. Mirotić was their example, but Lance would fit
that. Right, I'd say Mirotić is probably the best non-NBA player in the league right now. Correct. Or not in the league, I guess.
Correct, absolutely. So he was the example they used because he's the best, but Lance, by playing in China, might be ineligible, but you, what we were talking before, the show brought up a point like he's been in America for so long that seems silly, but...
Right, well, like somebody like Mirotić theoretically... I mean, but like, could he play in the NBA for the rest of the season?
But they can't be like, oh, they like. I'm just going to use Joe Young because I know he played in China and he's a former Pacer. But like, they can't be like, well, Lance came to America and Joe Young didn't, so Lance is eligible and Joe Young's not. Like, they can't do that, can they? I don't know.
No, it seems like I don't know why they have that rule in place. It feels like you just test them. If they have it, they can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess from a safety perspective, you don't want to have guys zooming in from other countries. But
that's true. You don't want players that are going to go out and play in another country,
right?
You know, in October, I guess.
So Lance is the big one, but he is ineligible. But I think if there's no buyout guys, I don't think there's any reason for them to do anything in the transaction window unless someone explicitly says, I'm not coming to Orlando.
Yeah, and that's a question. Will Malcolm Brogdon say that?
Right, Brogdon clearly. Well, I think Brogdon is leaning on the side of playing from his comments, actually, that he wants.
Yeah, I would agree with you. He'd be a candidate
to spread his yeah message.
I would agree with you.
Justin Holiday though just had kid number 2, I believe, and was on the meeting with Kyrie. You know, maybe he's a guy who says I want to spend time with family and not get sick.
Yeah. Well, so the question is,
this is all speculation. Like,
I know, but with him,
any player is leaning any direction. Just
no, I know. So, yeah. I mean, the thing I would say with him, and it's what he's probably debating, is if he didn't play another game this year, what is his value?
Yeah.
And could it go down or up by him playing more games?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's like the Pacers don't have to deal with this, thankfully. But yeah, like, I totally get why the Bams and the Mitchells and the Tatums are freaking out about their next deal and having the insurance policies because if
Mitchell,
they get COVID and don't play or they get hurt, like, that tanks them.
Mitchell shouldn't worry about it. Mitchell's going to get a 5-year max no matter what.
So is Tatum. Tatum's better.
Tatum, yes. Tatum and Mitchell are fine.
Bam is a key one.
Bam maybe is one who might not, but probably is moving that way. But I honestly think it's the Holiday type player. The guys who – Holiday had a really good year, and if he played on the Hawks
– right, but for them it's restricted free agency, so it's different. That's why they're pushing for the insurance.
Yeah, that's fair because it's going to be hard for them to get anywhere. But, like, right. I mean, Tatum towards ACL, he still get a 5-year max.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Same so with Mitchell. But to get back to the Pacers, again, I can't know if any of them are leaning either direction. But that is when the transaction window would matter because – and I just don't think they're going to cut anyone. Like, why would they have had the guy all season if they don't think he's worth having at the end, basically?
Yeah, I mean, there has to be somebody out there who's so much better, but there is nobody, so it's not really worth it.
Except for Boogie, but he's probably not better than either of their centers, so who knows.
Is he even ready to play?
Well, I don't know. That's that. My best replacement player idea, which we'll get to in a second, also might not be ready. But yeah, he'd be a replacement guy too because he was on the Lakers roster for a while this season. So who knows?
Yeah. When was he cut? Was he cut mid-year for something?
He was. So they could do a bunch of trades or something like that because they had a wild period where they like waived Troy Daniels too, and then Bri, I forget what they did. But they did something, and they cut Boogie in the process.
Okay.
Signed with that roster spot now? Oh, it was for Markieff Morris. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the question that ultimately it becomes is who decides to play and who doesn't, and if they don't, how like good are they? Like I could see somebody like if Aaron Holiday wasn't playing, I'm not sure there'd be. I mean, they have to replace him, but it wouldn't be like it wouldn't be as detrimental.
Well, they'd probably even just do Ed and then get like a guard to have someone, but like I don't know. I think it'd have to be a forward for it to be truly detrimental.
Yeah. I mean, it'd have to, yeah.
Who knows? Very confusing at this time. We'll learn a lot in the next week. So next weekly show will be about reopening and the hotel and all that jazz, maybe some schedule stuff. But 2 weeks from now, when there's actually like a transaction window and guys pinch lapping out, that's when we'll be getting wild with the news on the show. But we could speculate, and the replacement player discussion is much more interesting because it clearly will have an impact. So let's talk about it. But first, big long break with two sponsors. First up, the lovely people over at Blinkist. Blinkist, as we've talked about many times, is one of the ultimate life hacks. It's super unique on basically any device you own. You can pick a book, and Blinkist has it condensed down, a nonfiction book, excuse me, and Blinkist has it condensed down into something you can read or listen to in just 15 minutes. So you can get all the need-to-know information quickly. So busy people like you can get all this information. 12 million people are on Blinkist right now. It's awesome. A lot of people use it when driving in the car or making breakfast or something like that. Right now, for a limited time, you can go check it out as one of our audience members. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA. You'll be able to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% of your new subscription. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/MBA. Another one on this break, and of course, as we've been talking about basically the entire NBA suspension, the best protein bar ever, Built Bar, and Adam and I got to try them, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We got a whole free 20 bar box, right? 15 bar, 20 bar?
Yeah, I was like
15. 15
bars. Did I eat that many of those things in a week?
I'm sure you did.
There were a lot of them, and I ate them very quickly because they're delicious. And we have testimonials from listeners. Again, Ethan, who was on the show, ironically, was one of them, who really like them. They're really good. They're chocolate-based protein bars. They have nut-based flavors, nut-free flavors. They're soft and easy to chew. Super healthy if you're trying to maintain weight or gain muscle. You should really check it out. They're delicious. Go to builtbar.com and use the code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. That's BYLTBAR.com with the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Okay, so the replacement player rules have been pretty dynamic, but it seems like they're agreed upon to be, like I described earlier, but or the refresher again. If an injured player or someone gets COVID before the end of the season, they can be replaced until the season ends. And then in the playoffs, it's only for COVID, not for an injured player, a positive COVID test, that is. They can be replaced until the ailing player returns. So ESPN, I wrote a whole article about this, so I have got this on lock. But either way, ESPN has it as, or said, a player who is out because of injury – such as Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets, can be replaced with an injury replacement player. That's only for the regular season again. But that means Jeremy Lamb's injury means the Pacers have a replacement player slot, basically for free outside of paying Herb Simon paying the guy for 8 games, which is the only hurdle. Now, something I said earlier is really important here. The guy probably, outside of catastrophe and or like we said earlier, guys not playing, will not be playing in games, but it does not hurt to have a warm body joining the team for practices, especially if they already know some of the playbooks. So, Adam, the first question should not be who should it be, but should be, should they actually use this thing?
I'm on the side of, I mean, of course they should. I don't know if they will, though.
Yeah, I feel like there's no downside. It's like, you can even tell the guy they're not going to play, but they're still going to want to do it for the money.
Cheapness.
Yeah, that's well, that's not our downside or the team's downside.
No, no, not a downside. It's just what I think might happen, I guess.
Yeah, I under again, that is the part that I can't speak to, but like the dude, the owner of the team's business just had probably the worst month of company history, right? So,
Since he's on the Pacers, were not a well-run franchise in the 70s. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Until the Simons took him over. And they were losing a lot of money really fast.
Possibly trying to save some money. So, I mean, 8 games of a minimum is – it's not like – it's going to be like 100 – I can't remember the number – $100,000 to $200,000, you know, which to Herb is not a lot compared to his wealth. But, again, I'm sure he's trying to save.
Yeah, but rich people don't like to lose money, Tony.
Yes.
By the rich.
No, well, no one likes to lose money.
No, but rich people are rich because they don't lose money.
Yes. So that is pretty much the only reason I feel like they wouldn't do anything. The other reason, I guess, would be that they sign someone in the transaction window and then there's just no point. But I think some important things to consider would be guys out there who have any sort of like they already know the Pacers playbook. I know that's really minor, but because like this is all so fast. Woj wrote that a lot of players were concerned that they'd be in Orlando without their families for a long time. And the NBA was like, no. You'll only even if you go through the entire first round, you might only be there for 50 days. Well, that made me go, wow, that's such a short turnaround for that many basketball games. So I think a guy knowing the playbook, or at least somewhat, is pretty important just because the turnaround is so quick, they can't be screwing up in practice or slowing down to like help a guy along. You know what I mean?
Well, so 50 days, you mean of games or 50 days just in isolation, right?
No, it's 50. No. So from the day they get to Orlando, which is like July 10th, to the end of when they could be eliminated in the first round is like 53 days.
Right. So it's 2 weeks of practice and then 14 games in basically 30 days. That's actually right. If you play a max amount of 7,
it's 15 fast.
Games. They play about 14 games a month in the NBA
The concern was that it'd be away from their families. So that's why the 53 days stick out to me, because either you lose and you go back to them or you win and they can come, because then you're down to 8 teams and your family can come. So
yeah.
But again, that time is so fast that I think that I know it sounds dumb to say there could be more value in a G League guy than a guy with NBA experience, but like because it's so fast, them knowing the playbook really makes them helpful as a warm body. And like they're not, like I said, they're probably not going to play in games anyway unless someone big has stepped out or garbage time. So like it doesn't super matter if they're like the best replacement player available, right?
Yeah, I mean, how much does a playbook matter, though? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, that's a valid pushback to that discussion all the time, right? How complicated really is one team sets versus another?
Yeah, and how much, I mean.
But like, say your replacement player is JR, right?
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to pick up J.R. Smith, but like J.R. Smith's been on 10 teams, right? He knows this, he knows everything.
He's going to do what J.R. does no matter what the playbook says.
Yes, well, that's different, I guess. Maybe a more sage bet would be a better example there.
But well, so I guess the question, or another question, that's the kind of way I see it is, so the roster spot's probably not going to, I mean, unless you get like one, like there's a couple guys who might be better than the current 10 guys, and they're really only there as kind of like a security blanket, right? You get another center in case
something. I highly doubt they would play. Caitlin wrote about center specifically.
Right, so then the other part of it is, what's the point of the roster spot? And it's probably just to get a guy more experience, more something, right? So then you go with a G League guy who maybe you're developing, or you go with, I don't know, I mean, you know what I mean? Pick somebody who you just kind of want. Maybe you get somebody you liked as last year, the two-way guy, and you just tend to get him, you know what I mean? And he,
well, the two-way guys are actually invited now. Like
in general. But I mean, maybe you didn't sign him to a two-way contract, but you liked him, but you missed out on him or whatnot, and he's floating around. And you bring him in for 50 days. It's kind of almost like a tryout to see if he can be your two-way guy next year, you know, something like that.
I feel like we're pretty far from specifics at this point. I don't want to get there just yet, but I do want to say something else before we dig in. Like with Sumner, and I guess even Naz Long, or the option of moving Justin Holiday down to the two in case of an injury, like, is there even really a point of the replacement player being a guard for the Pacers? Like, no, they have enough depth for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what is the goal of the replacement player?
Yeah, if it's to have a warm body in practice, then...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you take the best guy available, right?
The best guy, but... If they actually think he could have value, you might want to pick a center, like you just talked about the center, or even a power forward or a rangy forward who can play a couple positions, just so they can add some utility there too.
Yeah, like is someone like Trevor Booker still available? I mean, that kind of like, right?
I don't think he is because he didn't play in the league the last couple of years, right? Last time he was in the league was on the Pacers, actually. But,
Right. It's been a full 2 years. Yeah. Right.
So the G League guys with Pacers experience, which only Matt, like if you think the playbook matters, it might not. It actually probably doesn't. They have five guys on that G League roster with some level of Pacers experience. Walter Lemon and CJ Wilcox are guards. I'm ruling them out. Jakeenan Gant played in one preseason game. He's out. Steph Hicks got a 10-day and never played in games. He's out. Ben Moore, we have a winner, played in two games in 2017-18 and in the preseason and made the final roster last year before getting cut like 3 weeks in and signing with the Spurs on a two-way. But he was in the back with the Pacers organization this year. I don't think they'll go with the G Leaguer, but if they do, I feel like he is definitely the best option. I don't know how much you know about him.
Oh, Ben Moore. He's got you like you fell in love with, right?
I think he's the best man at by a mile, but yes, he is my G League crush.
That's like being the king of the anthill.
Hey, that's funny. They're the mad ants.
I know. I was trying to think of an analogy. That's why I chose that joke.
That was pretty good. I mean,
that was quick. Usually I'm not that quick on my feet.
That's impressive. That was basically just me ranting on the G League guys.
Yeah, but you're fine.
I mean, I wrote about that basically as like, well, and like, this is dumb, but like they every year, you know, they either convert a two-way guy or like they give Trey McKinney Jones or Steph Hicks a 10-day. Like, I feel like they like rewarding the G League guys, and they didn't do that this year, so maybe they'll do it. I don't know, but the G League season's canceled. Who knows? Anyway, if they go with the G League guy, I feel like Ben Moore is easily the most likely candidate. But NBA players or guys with NBA experience, obviously – have more value both because of talent and experience, right?
Yeah. I mean, you want somebody who can possibly step in on a catastrophe, right? If three guys get hurt or two, you know what I mean? Maybe if you think the guy's talented, the G League to play some NBA minutes, you do it. But you really just want, this is sort of like a security blanket or an extra security because you already got kind of a few built in, but the last resort security blanket, I guess.
So the sexy option, the one in Caitlin's article and the name out there, we already talked about him, is Boogie. Because, you know, like he's – I don't know if he's better than Domas or Miles right now. Probably not because of his many injuries, but he's definitely better than Goga. And he's out there as a potential replacement player, which would be super interesting. And the suspension has given him, in theory, more time to heal from his injury. So perhaps he's ready to go and change a team's trajectory.
Don't think Jamal Crawford is a good one?
I think Jamal Crawford is bad at this stage of his career. So, no, I do not think Jamal Crawford.
I mean, I don't know. Boogie's also hasn't really been a marquee
player.
Boogie's
got Wizards written all over him. He can finally be on Wall's team, right?
I mean, his fall from where he was almost on the precipice of a supermax.
2 years ago, he was there. He got traded because they thought he was going to get it.
Well, they didn't want to give it.
Years ago, man, that was a long time ago now.
Whatever it was, it's almost similar to Isaiah Thomas, but I feel worse for Isaiah Thomas because he sort of sunk him. He sort of got screwed versus, I think, but kind of dug his own grave over time.
Yeah, and Isaiah Thomas went from, like, top five offensive player in the NBA to just actively bad on both ends, basically.
Oh, that's because he lost his only thing that was great about
him. His hips just killed him, right?
Yeah, he got screwed. I mean,
what do you think of Ryan Anderson?
I mean,
probably not a good NBA player, but.
Well, none of this. The reason they're not on a team, right? The reason they're not on a team. There's a reason. Right.
That's what makes it really hard is like there's a reason they're free agents. So what value are they really bringing you?
Well, they're bringing you replacement value.
They're
bringing you value of having an open roster spot. That's about it.
So should we take a break now and then I'll give you my favorite guy or do you want me to do it before?
Let's do a break. Then
okay. Break. Well, another break means two more ads of me talking to you about some of our favorite things. And one of them is Rock Auto, one of the new, more recent sponsors for the Locked On Podcast Network. But Rock Auto is a family-owned auto parts store online. And one of the biggest reasons, in fact, the reason to maintain and repair your car is to save money. So you can have a car and have money that you can use in other important things. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts as a chain store when you could do less at rockauto.com. It is a family business serving auto parts customers for over 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet. They've got it all. You should go check them out at rockauto.com. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? They know we sent you. Go check them out. And of course, for the second time today, because we love them so much, and we forgot one last week, don't tell anybody. Built Bar is back, and I'll just handle this one myself because, well, I've tried all of them, and they're delicious, and there's a peanut butter chocolate one that tastes like Reese's that is super good. There's a peanut butter almond one that's delicious. There's a mint chocolate one that I really like, but Built Bar is a protein bar. They have tons of great flavors. They're all 100% chocolate-based. They have sent me a bunch, and I liked pretty much all of them. They were delicious. They're great for the health-conscious guy. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. I highly recommend you check them out. BuiltBar.com with the promo code locked on. You'll get $10
off. And Cora must agree with you, my dog, because she's barking so loud in approval.
Well, look at that. Cora can be the official brand sponsor of Built Bar. Adam's dog will like it if you go to BuiltBar.com and use
those chocolates, maybe not, but yes.
Locked on at checkout. Okay, Adam, I have a guy. I have a favorite guy for this.
You always have a favorite guy.
Who's a favorite guy, but this one's actually a good favorite guy, I think. Okay?
Oh, God. Okay, give me it.
Ready? Ready? Okay, he was in the NBA this season. He has played for the Pacers for 3 seasons, including a season under McMillan, so playbook experience.
Oh, I know you're going to say.
He's a vet, so he would probably be able to help the team, be willing to not play, and be a good locker room guy. And all the reasons, the guy who beefed with everybody on the team, but including him, is not here. He's played with Miles Turner before. You know who it is?
Oh, wait. I thought I knew who it was, but now I don't.
Who'd you think it was?
Darren Collison.
It is not Darren Collison. It is CJ Miles.
Doesn't he hate McMillan, though?
No. That was a lot of Monte stuff.
Okay.
The Monte, not some bad relationships there. So CJ Miles played for the Wizards this year, had wrist surgery in January, so they waived him. With the expectation being, CJ Miles is out till like early April, so we can't use him the rest of this year. Well, guess what? Now basketball's not going in early April. It's going in July and August. So CJ Miles could be healthy and could be useful and has played for the team before and his vet is not going to whine if he doesn't play and could play positions of need and is okay at basketball. I mean, I think that's the one.
It's almost like you wrote a whole article about this.
I have an unfair advantage.
No, I'm just making a joke. Sorry. Go, everybody, go read Tony's article.
But I just think his bullet list, his resume for this is so long if Herb's willing to pay him.
Yeah, what do you think is there some kind of salary number? Is it just like, is there for this kind
it'd
of?
Just be it'd have to be the minimum. They don't have any other options.
Right, well, what is the minimum?
His minimum is $2 million.
Basically. Well, is that prorated or is that for 8 games?
Well, I'm doing it for 8 games at a $2 million minimum. He would make $174,672.
Well, and then get some for the playoffs, right? Too.
No, remember the replacement player cannot play in the playoffs if they're replacing Lamb. Now, if someone gets COVID in the playoffs and CJ Miles replaces that guy, he can get paid in the playoffs.
So why would you even need a guy for the 8 games?
Probably. Just in case, warm body and practice. And why not? What's the downside?
Well, yeah.
That's why I think them whining about playing is a thing. Like
why would a player like
toxic dude, yeah, you don't do that. But like if they're not going to whine, they're helpful in practice at least.
Why would CJ Miles come over then if you're only going to be able to play 8 games in it?
Should I read you that $174,000 number again?
Yeah, but doesn't he? I mean, that's not that much money to a guy like that, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like that could talk, especially for a guy who is not on a team and is looking to prove he can get on another team. Now, again, he might not play at all, but it's better than not having a team if you want.
I mean, that's probably 5 times. Well, if we combine what we both make, it's 3 times probably what we make.
not from this podcast, more full-time jobs. But yeah, yes. I would like no one listening to get the idea that this show is even worth
closing. No. If we made that kind of money, we wouldn't have day jobs.
Yeah, no kidding. But there's not a ton of like awesome, you know. There's other guys. Like there's some guys with Pacers experience. Although the first name I wrote that has Pacers experience, you're gonna laugh at Miles Plumlee, just because he plays center. But I don't think anybody.
This is Pacer experience. Like what he played like 13 games with the team.
I think the experience is actually helpful just because everything happens so fast out there.
But like you're not like you're playing in Indiana. You're just playing with a random set of guys in an isolated area.
Alex Poitras, who's on the team 2 years ago, and Jared Utoff, same deal for preseason. He played for the – Utoff played for the Grizzlies G League affiliate, Poitras for the Hawks.
And then by the way, Miles Plumlee played 40 games for the Pacers. That's pretty close.
Ooh. Yeah, well, Pacers experience nonetheless. Anyway, the other guys I have on this list that are good – NBA players who've played in the league the last 2 years and can, in theory, play forward except for one of these guys. Anthony Tolliver, who I've liked for a million years. Justin Anderson, was on the Nets and Raptors this year. I already said Ryan Anderson. Chandler Parsons, how about that one? And Alan Pratt. Yep. Is what?
Is Chandler Parsons healthy or?
I do not know. I don't know if TJ Miles is healthy. That's a big factor. If he's not, he's obviously out.
Well, Parsons is somebody who I don't feel bad for because he managed to cash in and not play games.
Yeah, he won. Outside of being traded six times in as many years, he did get the best out of that. Tolliver is awesome. I think he's a smart player who's, again, not going to whine, just likes the opportunity, I'm sure. Good dude by all accounts. Teams keep signing him despite him just being a mediocre player because he's a good locker room guy. I mean, he plays the four. That's 4-5 is probably the position they're going to look at. I think he can be good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question will be, too, on what priority does the player – like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm assuming how most teams will be able to take advantage of this or, you know, because most teams have somebody that's out
for the year or something.
Right, something like that. So, I mean, the players, like, it'll be priority based on, like, championship ability, right? So you'll get immediately, you know, the Lakers, Clippers, Bucks will have
the first. I don't know if the Lakers have a spot, but yes, I get what you're saying.
Well, and it depends if everybody shows up.
But here, so remember with Wes Matthews, with the Pacers, right? They couldn't offer him much money or a shot at the title, but they could offer him a crap ton of playing time. That's what the Nets can offer in this case because Kyrie and KD are not going. So. Maybe got back. Oh my gosh, I could play 20 minutes a game if I pick the Nets. You know,
but yeah,
I obviously do not have that luxury of offer.
Yeah, that's
also. And again, they can only offer regular season minutes, which makes it even harder if they even get a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see what players will opt out of coming. Like, I mean, Dwight Howard, I know, is on the fence, right? So that could happen.
He just did. I haven't read it yet. Is that what he was talking about to Shams? He released a long statement to The Athletic. I have not read it yet.
I mean, he was talking about a couple of days ago, just about.
Yeah, he was on the. He was leading with Kyrie, right, in that meeting.
Yeah, so I don't know where he's at. I think it'd be interesting to see too if a Pacer player doesn't come back. Like, I mean, I think right now I could see Justin Holiday not wanting to come back and play.
I don't want to speculate on any specific player. I feel like I kind of feel bad for doing that earlier, honestly.
Yeah, I get what you mean, but like I guess in the sense that I. Could see why he wouldn't.
And so that's why I was listing reasons. Is these the reasons he wouldn't? But yes, I don't know. But yeah, that would change this entire discussion.
But then you can't offer minutes to somebody. I mean, you're not talking like a Tommy offer,
right?
You know, 15 minutes a game to somebody probably.
Yeah, if it's especially if it's like a starter or something, then you're like, hey, we have like 20 minutes to give somebody.
Yeah,
but that, I mean, man, at that point you're looking like. Wow, how do we, you know, can the Timberwolves cut someone good for us or something? Like, we just got screwed.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be.
Or, and, you know, we've been talking, man, that would change everything because we've been talking about, like, you know, do you prefer playing Philly, Boston, Miami, whatever? What seed do you want? Well, let's say, like, Jimmy Butler decides not to go. Then you obviously want to play the Heat in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it changed a lot of things. I think the problem, too, is if you get a mass of players not playing, then this thing also stops happening.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You lose a ton. The league would lose a ton of money. I don't know if it would take how many players that are legit very good it would take for that to happen.
Oh, I mean, realistically 5, right? Not even.
Say 3. From one team, you mean?
No, I mean, like, if LeBron, Giannis, and Kawhi
Not playing, well, they're not. Well, yeah, the 5 biggest would – yeah, that'd be a dip.
Yes, but, I mean, but, like, you could have a whole – like, I could the whole Suns say they don't want to play? But, like, that doesn't, like, change much. I mean, no, I mean, I'm saying not to be mean to them, but – I mean,
could the Suns just scoop up 13 replacement players and be better?
Well, and, like, the Wizards same way. And the Wizards just, like, say we don't want to play.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know? I think I was Zach Lowe talking about – Davis Bertans in the sense of like same way Justin Holiday is, right? Bertans is due for a big payday when he comes to free agency next year. Whether what the cap is or not, he's going to get paid because he's one of the better free agents. Now we'll see how much he's paid with the cap changing and whatnot. But does he really want to come play 5 games, let's say, that matter before his team is eliminated anyways and then possibly getting hurt? Or does he just stay at home and then you get, you know, 4 Wizards that want that and 5 Wizards that want that? And then you have a, you know, just, you know, slowly deteriorate on the team because it's like, It's why there's the issue of kind of bringing in the non-playoff teams and makes it tougher, I guess, in a way.
Yep, because they had to play for something for a little bit at least.
Yeah, and that's why they're – I mean, I don't I guess, and I don't know how the lottery stuff's going to work too. Like, is it better for the Suns to lose all eight games to get a better lottery pick?
Well, no, because their lottery spot is based on their record before the eight games.
Okay, so it's locked in.
Yeah, they can't do that.
Because remember last year, the Lakers had the ninth worst record, which where the Suns are right now, and got the fourth pick, third pick.
I forget how far they moved up.
Whatever pick it was, it went able to get Anthony Davis through a nice
right. Yeah, it helped. Trade. So yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Like Kelly Oubre just announced he's not playing, and their owner said that he might play like a few weeks ago. It's like, I guarantee if it was 50-50, Kelly Oubre was like, I'm not going to play, you know, stuff like that. So who knows?
Is Oubre in a contract here too?
No, he got his payday last summer, actually.
That's right, from the Wizards, right? Before he got traded.
No, he got his payday from the Suns. He got traded, then got paid.
Okay. I couldn't remember the order of it.
Yeah, believe it or not, the Wizards traded away a good young player for nothing. They never do that.
Yeah, no, shocking move by the Wizards.
So this is all going to be super interesting. And, of course, I'm not rooting for anyone, but I think CJ Miles makes the most sense. But if Herb's not willing to pay anybody, they're not going to do anything. And we'll never know why if they don't do anything, but that is my biggest guess of reason, basically.
Yeah, I think we'll just see. I don't know. I mean, I
think in the like it's going to be rapid fire starting next week of, like, what the rules are, what the news is, and what teams are doing, just because there's so much going on.
Yeah, and the players have to decide what they want.
Yep.
Which I think that will hopefully come into light next week. I mean, because I mean, there's I see both sides of it, right? I see the idea you can play and have you have this captive audience. Can you do something that sort of captivizes the entire nation? The way kind of I think somebody was saying compared to, like, remember the 68 Olympics with those two guys.
And we talked about this yesterday with Tom and Mark, but. Yeah, any player's decision, I totally get it. You know what I mean? The argument is sound. It makes a ton of sense.
It goes kind of both ways. So we'll see. I mean, we might get some report next week about how the league is going to have some kind of thing before every game or every night and stuff that, you know, convinces every player to come because it does that. And then it changes them. And then that might bring the aspect of some players might want to play in these games because they get to be part of that too.
Yep.
Other part of it, right? I mean, there's, you know, the Suns might be encouraged to come and play games because they get to, you know, be part of this kind of, what, you know, the movement, I guess, in a way.
Yep. Yeah, so we'll see. But that, from what we know now and who we know to be playing now, that is my replacement player list.
Yeah, I mean, barring the only other guy I could see, I mean, Joakim Noah is the only other, but he's the best center probably out there.
Yeah, I think he's a Clippers guy because he signed with them right before the suspension.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, he took a 10-day with them. And I'm assuming they're going to let that expire, but I'm guessing they'll just be like, come back. You know.
Basically. Well, I could see him replace Dwight Howard, though. Dwight Howard ends up leaving.
That's true. Joakim Noah, actually, a good player. Yeah, right. But, so we'll see. But do you have anything else today, Adam?
No, I think we'll just have to see what the rules are and see what happens. I mean, well, it's set, but also evolving at the same exact time.
Yeah, it's very fluid. And I think everything we discuss, basically – until it's locked in, it's fluid. It's so, which makes it hard but fun to discuss these kind of things. And I really like the replacement player stuff. It's something interesting to think about, even though it might amount to nothing. So yeah, that's all we got today. Adam will be back tomorrow to discuss. I don't know if you know yet. Can you reveal it?
Find out tomorrow.
What? What?
You'll find out tomorrow.
I will. Okay. Great. And yeah, next week we'll maybe talk schedule if that comes out, or if not, we'll talk about the rules that have the Shams dropped and all that stuff about coming back and the Pacers Hotel and all that fun stuff. So lots of good stuff to discuss still and how it all relates to the NBA's return. Yeah, that's all I got. I think that's all Adam's got. So we will see you guys tomorrow.